Okay, can you hear me?
Amen.
All right. Well, it's good to be here in person. this morning, I receive a burden to speak to you about guarding deposit. Of course, I'm here quoting straight from the book of the two books of Timothy. So if you have your recovery version, please turn with me to 2 Timothy, firstly, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Actually, my burden is in chapter 13 and 14, but it is good that we start with chapter 12, and you will see what I mean by that. So let us read these three verses together. For which cause I suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard my deposit unto that day. Hold a pattern of healthy words that you have heard from me, in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. There are two guardings and two deposits. And you have to discern the difference. You have to distinguish these two guardings and those two deposits because they are not the same. The guardians are not the same and the deposits are not the same. But sorry to say, in many who don't read the Bible so carefully, they mix it up and think it's all about the same. And in a way, even this hymn that we just sang, 1285, does not make that distinction so adequately clear. But we will get into that in a moment. Now let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. That is the last chapter. Let us read verse 20 and 21, okay? Chapter 6, verse 20 and 21, 1 Timothy. Okay, let's go. O Timothy, guard the deposit. From what is falsely called knowledge, because of which some, professing this, has misaimed regarding the faith. So you have the guarding of the deposit, which is, you may say, identical to the second guard the deposit charge in the verses we just read. Not the first, but the second. Now we need to read another couple of verses, both in 1 Timothy, and that is chapter 6, verse 3. If you can turn with me, 1 Timothy. All right, let's read. If anyone teaches different things and does not assent to healthy words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the teaching which is according to godliness. Obviously, the emphasis here, and the reason I include this reference, is because of this word, or this phrase, healthy words, underscore or underline healthy. All right, so let's now turn to chapter 1 of 1 Timothy and verse 10. Chapter 1, verse 10. Let's read it. for fornicators, homosexuals, kidnappers, liars, perjurers, and whatsoever other thing opposed to the healthy teaching. Again, here you have the word healthy, except it is said, it says healthy teaching. All right. We come back to the main verses, and that is in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. In verse 12, you have the first guarding and the first deposit. And here it is Paul actually giving his testimony to strengthen and to encourage his young co-worker, because Timothy was in the thick of a deteriorating situation of great decline in the church life where he was, and I think he was in Ephesus. But generally at that time, there was an influx, there was a penetration of many things that are so-called knowledge, things that are a mixed bag of Jewish teachings, even myths, fables, all kinds of things from Judaism. But mixed with that are things that come from the world. By the world, we mean things of the culture of the time, of the prevalent philosophies of the time, and that would be source, right? The Greek source, because the Greeks are into this kind of thing, philosophies and so on. And so you have the Greek philosophy. And then laced in these things are probably various kinds of pagan teachings that have nothing to do with God. And you put this in a blender and mix it all up. And that is something that would come to be known as Gnosticism, which was the main bag of philosophy that was prominently invaded the Church of God. And these things eventually undermine the very truth of God, the very truth of Christ, the very truth of the scriptures in those in that time, even before the death of all the apostles, or surely before the martyrdom of Paul himself. And these things would become the spearhead of the enemy's attack on the with the view to bring in the mixture, with a view to causing damage, eventually with the view of bringing in these untruths that will cause contentions in the church, that will cause all kinds of detrimental effect on the church. And you just read especially these two books of Timothy and you will find that everywhere. And so again, such a background of infiltration of these things, Paul was there to strengthen Timothy, to charge Timothy, to instruct Timothy in what he should do. You should remember that right off the bat, in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, he said, Timothy, I charge you to tell those people in Ephesus, that is where you are, you tell them that don't teach different things. So I want you to pay attention to this, that eventually the key of this spiritual battle between the church and the world, between the believers and these other people, is in the realm of the teaching. All right? The teaching. That's the source of all the problems. The teaching. What you teach in the church is of paramount importance. Today we're sitting here because of the teaching. Because we subscribe to certain teaching of the word. That's why we're here. And so other believers in different denominations, different places, they're there because they subscribe to certain kind of teaching. And so Paul's word to Timothy was that tell those people, don't give heed, don't pay attention to these myths and genealogies. This is mainly from the Jewish direction that produce questionings rather than God's economy, which is in faith. So the start, the source of the decline of the church in this context has to do with the teaching that is that were being taught in the church. The teachings determine where the church is. It determines the condition of the church. And so the word here is, don't pay attention to the different teachings, to the other teachings. Here, you have to pay attention. It doesn't say not to teach heresies or not to teach, you know, evil things. All right? It even does not say not to teach wrong things. It says not to teach different things.
Amen.
And what different from what? That's the point. Anything, then he answered himself. I mean, that question is answered in verse 4. Don't give heed to these other things rather than God's economy.
Amen.
So really, the apostle here is very, very clearly and very, very simply saying that any teaching that is not according to God's economy, and this economy of God, we all should know, refers to God's eternal economy, more specifically to God's New Testament economy.
Amen.
This word economy means what? It means, in Greek, household law, implying distribution, implying a kind of distribution. The word economy is from the word house or household and the word law combined. So household law is the literal meaning of the word economy. So it denotes a certain household management, a household administration, a household government. And I'm reading actually from the footnotes here, derivatively a dispensation, a plan, or an economy for administration or distribution. So it is a household economy. The picture is this: in the old days, you have vast households. You know, you can have 100 people living together in the same compound or something like that. There's so many folks there, and it becomes quite a job to distribute the food, the necessities, and to meet the needs of all the people in this household. And there would be a steward that is hired, or stewards that were hired to do exactly that. And frequently are richer, more wealthy households, right? But you need these stewards to do the job of distribution. They have a plan. There is a government. There is an administration. There is a something in place. There's an economy in place to distribute this food or clothing or whatever the people would need to live. And in this universe, God has a household, doesn't he? Amen. He has a family. He even have a kingdom. Amen. A huge, huge household. And God is rich. And God is the life to this family. Am I right? Amen. Christ is the Son of God, which is the embodiment of the triune God, is the very supply.
Amen.
To meet all the needs of own family. And the distribution of this Christ, the distribution of all these divine riches to meet the folks in this vast and great and universal household requires a grand plan, a grand economy.
Amen.
Something very complex, very sophisticated, very thought through. And so this is the meaning of God's economy. God, according to his purpose, according to his will, according to his desire, right? In his economy, is to distribute, is to dispense himself to all of his redeemed and chosen believers.
Amen.
All the members of his marvelous household.
Amen.
That means you and I.
Amen.
And for this, he designed this wonderful economy.
Amen.
And the whole Bible describes this economy. Of course, this Bible also embodies all the riches.
Yes.
But someone has to distribute it.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yeah.
And it is the job of the stewards. When it comes to the New Testament, these are the apostles. Right? Paul says, I am the steward. And the Lord Jesus in his parables would talk about the faithful stewards in my household who would give food at the appointed time.
Amen.
So, in a very good sense, we're all stewards.
Amen.
Every believer of the Lord, every saint in the church life should be a steward.
Amen.
To dispense this very Christ.
Amen.
Into others.
Amen.
Into all the believers.
Amen.
For their supply.
Amen.
And it is by this way the church is built up. And all the teachings that we teach, all the proper things that we teach in the proper church, in a proper condition, all these teachings should be teachings of God's economy.
Amen.
No matter what we talk about, It's all in the end about this economy of God.
Amen.
For the building up of his body.
Amen.
Now, these other philosophies, all these different kind of teaching, was the enemy's work to sidetrack God's people. To deceive God's people. To replace this proper central teaching with other kinds of teaching. And those teachings would eventually cause questionings. They cause contentions. It caused all manners of evil in the church life.
Amen.
So the teaching, this is my first burden this morning, the teaching. Now, in the verses that we read, it refers to that teaching, this proper teaching, as we read earlier, to the healthy teaching. It's very interesting adjective, isn't it? It doesn't say good. It doesn't say deep. It doesn't say profound, which they are. But it says healthy teaching. And that means what? That means all the other kinds of teachings are simply unhealthy.
Yeah.
They make you sick.
Huh.
If you receive them, it will make you unhealthy.
Amen.
Actually, there's only one teaching that is healthy. And that is the healthy teaching according to God's economy.
Amen.
Then, we also read in First Timothy, let me just, in chapter 1, verse 10, it talks about all kinds of lawless and unruly and ungodly and unholy things, including some of the very, very immoral things, practices. All these things, it says, they are all in opposition to this healthy teaching. I'd like to say a word this morning at the risk of maybe offending some of you. And that is surely not my purpose to offend you, but if it does, it's not me offending you, it's the word. I'll tell you today, this whole society of ours in the present age is filled with all kinds of philosophies and teaching. And I'm not just talking about in Christianity or in the religious realm. I'm talking about in society. All kinds of teachings, philosophies. I won't name names because it may sound quite unpleasant. But here I will tell you, it's mentioned. All these profane things, all these worldly things, all these ungodly things, all these unholy things, all this lawlessness, all this unruliness, all this fornication, All these lies, all these deceits, they're all, according to this verse, opposed to the healthy teaching. I would like to tell you, if you take them in, if you receive them, if you buy into them, it'll make you sick. It'll make you unhealthy in your thoughts, in your concepts, because they have a way of affecting your lives, your beliefs, the way you look at the world, the way you look at everything. But Paul said the healthy teaching is according to the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I was instructed. I don't know. I just tell you, I am just simply burdened. Very, very burdened in these days. To what? To fight. And somehow, at the beginning of this year, inwardly, I felt from the Lord a certain release. It's as if the Lord was telling me, go and stand and start speaking. Amen. You're not going to be shut up anymore. You go and speak this truth. Amen. Whether they want to hear it or not, you speak it. Amen. If you would be one of my prophets, and I'm not saying I'm some great prophet, you know what I mean. If you are to speak on my behalf, am I right? To my people, then you speak what I want you to speak. You speak my word. You speak my truth. There would be another time with you, I like to just give one message or maybe more, based on Ephesians, on the truth and the lie, the deceit and the reality. Amen. It's two back-to-back verses in chapter 4, I believe, of Ephesians. Saints, listen, today there's something called the lie. Amen. And the whole world is caught in that. It's called the lie. It's a web of teaching and philosophies, modern day philosophies that Satan has spinned like a cobweb. To catch all the human minds. And that is called the lie. The lie. It's one big lie. Versus the truth, which is in Christ. The truth, not your truth. Not my truth. No such thing. Truth, by definition, is singular. And I want to tell you, the truth is only found in the Word of God.
Amen.
Your Word is truth.
Amen.
Sanctify them with your word is truth.
Amen.
I have no other weapon to fight except this thing in my hand. That is the word of God. You either believe it or you don't. And this word does not compromise. There's no halfway to receiving this word. You take all of it, or you don't take any of it. We don't agree with Jefferson. He has his own Bible called the Jeffersonian Bible. That is a Bible, what he likes, he keeps. What he doesn't like, he cuts it off. He has a reduced version of the Bible. It's a Jeffersonian Bible. Sorry to say, today even Christians are promulgating such a Bible. What I like, I keep. What I don't like, I don't keep. Then there's no more truth. You choose your truth. Truth is not your choice. Truth is the truth.
Amen.
Truth is not relative. By definition, that is not truth. Truth is eternal.
Amen.
Truth is absolute.
Amen.
And this lie is actually a gigantic deceit to deceive the entire human race. To keep humanity in a state of vanity, of darkness, of no understanding. Brothers and sisters, today the only light that is shining is in the Bible, is the Bible.
Amen.
And I want you to be clear about that.
Amen.
None of us should question that.
Amen.
The word of God.
Amen.
In fact, I would like to tell you, in these days, more than ever before, all Christians should read the Bible.
Amen.
And not superficially, not perfunctorily, not easily. May I say, thoroughly,
amen,
deeply,
amen,
in a way of being constituted with it. And I'll say more about that later. Now, let's come back to this matter of healthy. So we got the healthy teaching. Then we've read this verse in 1 Timothy 6. It says, well, coming back to the same theme, the same burden, if anyone teaches different things, he was harking back to chapter 1. Tell them not to teach different things. He's coming back, if anyone teach different things, and does not consent to healthy words. You see this dichotomy? Do you see this contrast?
Yeah.
Different things, different teaching. Over here, healthy teaching, healthy words. Now the opposition. What are these healthy words? Those of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching which is according to godliness. So there are two things here. Number one, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Gospels. The four Gospels. These are the words of our Lord. The Lord's words is by his own explanation. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life.
Amen.
Now, what does that mean? That means my words, these words, are healthy. Spirit and life. Spirit and life. You want to be healthy? Take these words.
Amen.
Read these words.
Amen.
Study these words.
Amen.
Masticate these words.
Amen.
Be filled with these words.
Amen.
Working saints, you say you're busy. I believe you. Everybody's busy. Who's not busy? Even the lazy people are very busily lazy. And no one can add one more minute or one more hour to your time because we've all been given the same amount of time. But the point is not that we are busy or not, really speaking. And the point is not about trying to create more time, because you really can't, no such thing. The point is about what? It's about redemption. Redeem the time.
Amen.
It's about not wasting. It's about not squandering the time, the limited time that you have been given. This not only refers to the 24 hours of the day, I'm even talking about your entire life.
Wow.
Don't squander your life. Don't waste your years. You have limited years. I'm over 70. I'm feeling it. Life is limited. It's short. It's coming to an end. So I'm more desperate than you younger people. Am I right? You still have years to squander, am I right? So, redeem the time to what? To do what? Don't spend the time on TikTok. I don't even know what that is. On your Instagram page, on your Facebook, which is a dinosaur of a thing. Once you get into it, the next thing, 30 minutes is gone. Get a few more pictures in there, your latest vacation, so you can get more thumbs up or something like that. I don't know how it works. I tell you, it's not going to count one day, a bit. In the New Jerusalem. There's no Instagram there. You don't need a camera there. You don't need anybody to thumbs up or thumbs down you. It's all thumbed already. Up or down. Spend the time. Redeem the time. Listen. To get into the word of God, the healthy words and the healthy teaching.
Amen.
I cannot give you a better gift. I cannot give a better advice than this, because this will make you healthy.
Amen.
Especially in this day and age. It will keep you. It will preserve you. It will safeguard you in health. So, read the Gospels. Read the words of the Lord Jesus. Read it again. My goodness, the words in Matthew. Right? The Kingdom Constitution. Go read it. Go read it. It tells you how you should be, how you should behave, how you should handle money. How about that? How you should live by faith, how you should treat other people. Of course, how you should be to God. And so many things, so many things. My, I tell you, start with the Gospels. Start with the Gospels and start reading. You say, I don't understand. Well, we got a Bible you can understand here. It has footnotes. It helps you with all kinds of all the difficult passages here. Am I right? It's interpreted for you in a very accurate and proper way. Yes, I'm here to promote the recovery version. I am absolutely here to promote this Bible.
Amen.
Read your Bible.
Amen.
This thing will make you sick. It will cause you to have bad posture. It will turn your mind into cottage cheese. It will expose you to germs and contagions of the worst kind. It's sewage. It's polluted. And you read it and you spend time in it. No wonder you live in a certain way. No wonder you start believing in the lie. No wonder you're getting deceived. I tell you, you read the word. Everything will fall into place.
Amen.
What's up is up. What's down is down.
Right. Amen.
The word of God.
Amen.
The word of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, listen, the teaching which is according to godliness. So the source of the Lord's words, the Lord's words are the source of the teaching according to godliness. Godliness, what does that mean? Godliness means the expression of God. A living, a condition that expresses God, that bears the likeness of God, which likeness is simply Christ. He is the image of the invisible God. So this teaching actually will help you to live godly, to live Christ, to express God, which is God's very desire for all of us to do.
Amen. Amen.
Church, the mystery of godliness, the church is simply a place, a entity, a realm, a household on the earth that expresses nothing but God Himself.
Amen.
The group of people that live differently than everybody else, living Christ. Now, today, this teaching that is according to godliness, the source is the Lord Jesus' word, and this teaching is simply the teaching of the apostles. Which includes the teaching that we receive. This ministry that we receive in the Lord's recovery, I can tell you very boldly, very emphatically, that you can trust this ministry that we're under.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
And this ministry, if you read it, if you get into it, if you study it, have a way of making you healthy.
Amen.
Standing here is a man, right here. I've been under this ministry for over years. The combination of the ministry of Watchman Nee and then Witness Lee, which to me actually is one ministry in two parts. It is my testimony that I owe my life, my marriage, my family, my everything, not only to the word of the Lord Jesus, not only to the teaching that is according to godliness, but to the present day ministry that we have inherited, that we have been given in the churches of the Lord's recovery. When I get out of this ministry, or when I'm not so much in the ministry, you know, I start coughing. You understand? I start getting a fever. And some people got worse. I see it with my own eyes. And to some degree, I experience it myself. Here says, people who teach different things, you may say different things, what's the big deal, okay? It says here, this person is blinded with pride, understanding nothing. Listen to this word. But is diseased with questionings and contentions of words, out of which come envy, strife, slanders, evil, suspicions, perpetual wranglings of men corrupted in the mind, deprived of the truth, supposing godliness to be a means of gain. He was describing the situation in his time, Paul. The point here is that when you are not healthy under this teaching, and because of these words of the Lord, you are diseased, you are sick. It starts with the teaching. Now, let me go on here. Back to 2 Timothy. It says, well, in verse 12, actually, I don't have time to get into it. Paul was talking about, actually, that he is able. The guardian here in verse 12 is not you and I. It is the Lord himself. He is able to guard your deposit. That is the committing of your whole being to him. He is able to keep, to safeguard, to protect, to preserve unto that day. Some of us are questioning or worried. Who is going to keep us? You know, I always have young trainees in the FTTA. How can I keep myself unto that day? What is going to guarantee that I won't leave, or I won't drop out, or I won't, you know what I mean? Legitimate concerns. But here's the answer. Here's the answer. He is able. To guard your deposit. The depositor is you, and the guardian is the Lord himself. and it's until that day. This is not SVB. There's not going to be a run on in this bank. You're well protected, far, far beyond $250,000 insured by FDIC.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He is able
Amen.
To guard your deposit.
Amen.
So, saints, go ahead.
Amen.
Make your deposit.
Amen.
Commit yourself.
Amen.
Every minute, every day to the Lord.
Amen.
Give life to the Lord.
Amen.
Give your future to the Lord.
Amen.
Until that day. What day is that day? That day when we will inherit the glory that He has promised us.
Amen.
That He has planned for us to enter into. That full salvation that He has prepared for us to experience to the uttermost. He is able to save us to the uttermost. So, dear saints, go ahead and start committing.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
It says, Paul says in Timothy, that he prayed for the believers, that they will be what? They would be kept. Spirit, right? And soul and body. What? Complete. Without blame. Unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His job to keep us. It's His job to guard our deposit, our commitment to Him. But that is actually not my burden this morning. I'm just making that contrast. There's another deposit. And there's another guardian. In this case, it's not the Lord. It's you and me. What about this bank? We may be SVB, huh? We know that heavenly bank, that is the Lord, is safe. But how about this bank? How about you? How about me? And how about the deposit that is being deposited into your bank, into you? The word, Paul says here, is the same. Guard the deposit. This is my burden this morning. Now we know He will guard our deposit. This morning my burden is you and I have to guard His deposit
Amen.
Into us.
Amen.
This commitment is mutual. And so we're depositing into Him, and He is also depositing something into us.
Amen.
And He's going to guard and do His part. Paul's word is you have to do your part.
Amen.
And guard that deposit.
Yes.
Now you have to believe that this deposit must be something of value. Am I right?
Right.
I mean, you don't put junk into the safe deposit box in the bank. You don't need the safe deposit, but you just throw them into the trash can, okay? Because they are valueless.
Right.
They're cheap. You only save things of, you know, put things in the bank, so to speak, or save deposit box If only they are a treasure, they are have value, whatever kind of value you assign to it. But guard the good deposit in 2 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, at the end of that epistle, Paul gave the final charge to Timothy. He said, "Oh, Timothy." He was speaking so intimately to his spiritual son. "Oh, Timothy, my last charge, guard the deposit." That means, Timothy, you've got a deposit. You have it. You heard it from me. You heard it from others. You have it in you. Now your job is not to not lose it. You have to protect it. You have to guard it. Turning away from profane, vain babblings and oppositions and all that stuff, which some, because they did that, misaimed regarding the faith. Okay, so here, back to 2 Timothy 13:14, guard this good deposit, the deposit that the Lord himself entrusted to us. This deposit, what is it? Okay, let's go back to verse 13. It tells us clearly, hold a pattern of the healthy words that you have heard from me, Paul, from me, in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. So this deposit, we know what it is. It refers to the deposit of the healthy words and the healthy teaching. Including all its riches, all its treasure. What is the treasure that is in the Lord's word? That is passed on to us by the apostles. You have heard from me. They probably read and heard second hand, third hand, from those who were with the Lord Jesus when the Lord was on the earth. But Timothy, in this case, heard directly from Paul. You heard it. Now you hold a pattern of these healthy words. The word pattern means a sample, an outline. A synthesis of the healthy words that you heard. Guard that. Guard that. Guard the good deposit through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. We have this deposit of the word in us. Now we need to exercise our spirit, in which is mingled with the Holy Spirit. This exercise of our mingled spirit would help us to do this guarding. Now we need to take a break soon. I like to say this. In these days, I'm just utterly burdened for the whole recovery, not just Northern California, the whole recovery, to guard the deposit. this priceless words and teachings that we have received. And I refer particularly to the ministry we're under. That all the churches and all the saints, you working saints, should take the lead with what you would hold. The word hold, I think in Greek, means retain. Retain. It somewhat implies that you may not retain it. You may have read something, but it's not retained. It's not kept. You just kind of water over its back, or you've forgotten about it. You got to hold it. You got to retain these things. You have to retain these things in your being. Amen. These things need to be in you. It need to comprise you or constitute you. It's like some people eat food, but they can't retain it. So it just passes through. And so the way to retain something, using the analogy of food, eventually is what? Is that you eat it, you digest it, you assimilate it until it becomes you. Now you retained it.
Amen.
And the way to get rid of that is to get rid of you in the end, because it has become part of you. I like to challenge all of us here to retain the word of this ministry to that degree. I've seen some among us years ago who first welcomed this word, received this word, even rejoice with this word. Even they go and teach this word, this ministry, up to a certain point. And then they start to reject it for some reason. In some cases, they forgot about it. And the end of such ones is never good. Never good. They cease to be healthy. They become diseased. Deceased. I'm burdened in these days as a practical matter that in the whole recovery there is a renewed, fresh burden for all the saints, old, young, brothers, sisters, in all the churches, to rise up to retain the word of this ministry and to guard the deposit from generation to generation. I should actually read chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. It says, "And the things which you have heard from me, Timothy, through many witnesses, those commit to faithful men who will be competent to teach others also." So here, it's a generational thing. There's four generations here. Paul, Timothy, those Timothy commit to, the faithful men, And they would teach the others also. That's the fourth gen. Some of you here are third gen, second gen. There's some first gen, but there are many second gen. There's some third gen. Possibly today in the churches, there's some fourth gen. My burden is that this pattern of healthy words will be passed on from generation to generation to generation to generation. Amen. Only this can ensure the Lord's recovery to be healthy. Amen. Practically again, I'm burdened these days for us all to, number one, get into this recovery version. The Bible. It's actually the Bible. It's a good translation. It's the Bible. But what makes this different, this is just the New Testament. You've got the whole Bible today. They have these marvelous, marvelous footnotes and other features as well. You know, I'm serving in Bibles for America. Day and night, we just promote this Bible. And our BFA motto, if you will, is the recovery version of Bible you can understand, because the footnotes are there. You don't understand something, you just drop down to the footnotes and it will explain, interpret that passage for you, or that word or that phrase for you. Truly, I mean, every day I cannot live without this word, this recovery version. For my ministry, for my shepherding, for my personal edification, my personal pursuit of Christ, I need this recovery version and all its footnotes. Dear saints, I'd like to see you all healthy in the Lord.
Amen.
And this is a way, a surefire way to become healthy. And that is to be in the Word, in this recovery version, all the time.
Amen.
Daily. Second thing that I'm burdened to promote is the life studies. Life studies. All 1,984 messages covering all 66 books. And I just cannot begin to tell you, to persuade you, to convince you that of the amount of riches in these life studies. I mean, every page you turn to, there's something there. Yeah, you say, well, not really. When I read the life study of Leviticus, it gets pretty boring. I give you that. But I tell you, if you exercise your spirit, and that Holy Spirit that indwells you is stirred up, I tell you, light will shine on the most boring passage and give you light and give you life.
Amen.
My goodness. All right, you can go to the Google store. What is it called? App store, huh?
Play store.
The Play Store. For sure, I'm not a Android person, okay. For sure with Apple, okay? The Apple Store. It's already there, that long awaited app called 500 Life Studies. That's just a tool to help you to appreciate the life studies, and it's a scheduler, it's a tracker, and it has all kinds of wonderful helps for you and your companions, better yet, or even your church, to study, to get into the life studies. We say 500 because 500 is roughly the number of life studies in the New Testament. Two messages a week, we recommend strongly. Dosage is important. You can finish it in 5 years. Just the New Testament. And if you do this, and you do this faithfully, you hold this pattern of healthy words, you will find this deposit to be growing in you. To be added in you. And you will experience a life change. Well, time is up already. I'll say more. Did you get my burden?
Yes.
This word will begin to renew your mind.
Yeah.
To wash your brain. We all need a brain wash, right? From the lie.
Amen.
From the deceit. Amen. This word with the water in it. Amen. Ephesians, right? The water that is in the word will sanctify us.
Amen.
Will make us uncommon.
Amen.
Will actually sanctify us to make us holy. Like God is holy.
Amen.
To save us from all the evil and wicked things that surrounds us today. Then we can really be what? The testimony of Jesus. We can really be that mystery of godliness.
Amen.
That is what? That is the church of God. And the house, the household of the living God.
Amen.
All right, how about just pray a little bit, huh? For a minute, and we can have a break.